So, thank you again for coming. Taher will introduce Hatha OFB's plugin manager, which is inside the OFB's. So go ahead.
Thank you. Okay. I think it works. How are you all doing? Thank you for being here. I'm going to try to make this into an interactive session, so that if you don't ask questions, we'll be out of here in 10 minutes and have lunch, right? So it's up to you. You can steer this however you want. Okay, so I'm going to start the introduction of this talk on why we created the plugin system in the first place, or one of the main motivators for me. And it's the way we have the code right now sitting in OFBiz, in the code base, which looks sort of something like this, right? It's kind of, right? We have different levels of abstraction, things happening all over the place. It's just one big blob of code with everything dumped in from many years ago. And as I was trying to refactor the code, I realized that it's really hard to sort of navigate through all of this. So what is the best strategy? And after a lot of thinking, you know, I came to the conclusion that it's divide and conquer. So that's one of the problems. We have a lot of mixed code, a lot of things thrown into the core of the system. And we need a way to isolate these pieces, right? But what other problems do we face? Well, extending the functionality of OFBiz is incomplete. You can't just throwing in a component is not enough to add more features, because you need to patch a lot of things, make a lot of changes to the core system. And so a component is not enough, right? Also, there's no standard method for feature extension. Some people just use patches. Some people use their own thing. There is no agreed upon methodology for everybody to use to say, this is how we're going to extend the features of the system, right? Another problem is that there is a massive amount of code and dependencies needlessly carried around by other components. Just to give you, I mean, just to look at a very quick example, let me just show you something here. Right? What I'm doing here is pulling the list of libraries that OFBiz uses, right? Which is a lot, granted. But just look at one component. Okay, this is one component. This is BERT. Right? This is just one component, right? These are the dependencies that we are getting out of it, which is kind of, we're still going, you know? We're still kind of, we're still going. So, I mean, that's a lot, right? That's a whole heap of stuff that we don't need in the framework, unless we are specifically using the reporting engine. So just for us to tag it along and turn on this big machine needlessly is just a waste. It's a waste of resources, of your CPU, of your memory, of the dependencies, of debugging, of so many things, right? So again, if you look at the amount of stuff that you're pulling in, because everything's just sitting there in the code base, you'd realize that we have a problem. There's just too much. It's a lot of excess fat, if you will, right? Okay, so earlier solutions that we tried, and most of them had different levels of success, but none really were adopted. Well, we tried the manual way. We'll just create our own scripts, throw them in there, patch things up, and get it working. Right? That's one. It was not adopted, of course, because it was just too difficult, too manual. External tools. We had a few attempts in the past. They were not adopted because they're dependent on a certain environment set up with a certain version control system installed or things like that. It was not integrated and just part of the solution. It was depending on other infrastructure and other things, and so you had to set up your machine in a certain way to get it working. We had web portals, which are not really a solution. It's just a bunch of components listed on a website or something. So again, we didn't have something that really tackled the root issue, which is an easy, consistent way of extending the framework. Okay, so there is no silver bullet. I'm not bringing here the magic solution, right? I don't have a magic wand. I'm not going to say, boom, I got it, baby. No, I don't have anything like that. Instead, what I'm trying to do is perhaps, with the collaboration of people who helped me out on this, is to come up with an incremental solution that we can learn together through as we build up a viable alternative. So our attempted solution is something that is fully integrated with OFViz, and since we switched our build system from Apache Ant to Gradle, that gave us a lot of flexibility and freedom to design a lot of custom logic into our build scripts. So it's integrated right there in the build system of our framework. So it's there. It's not an external tool. It doesn't sit next to it. It's right in the heart of the thing, right? Our attentive solution must use tried and true solutions. And for this, we just picked Maven. Maven packaging, it's already out there. You can use Maven Central. You can use JCenter. You can use all kinds of repositories. It handles dependencies. It does everything. It's an established solution. It's used thousands of times in thousands of projects. So I'm not taking something from the ground up. I'm using something existing, successful, and widely deployed. It must be incremental with minimal assumptions. Right now, I just have 6 API calls. That's it, right? The minimal assumptions that I have is that there should be something called a plugin. The plugin should have the ability to depend on other plugins. And we can have any business logic we want into how it's installed. That's it. From there on forward, we can together think about ways to restrain it and streamline it and make it unified. But I just don't have the ideas right now, and we attempted too many things in the past. So I thought to myself, just reduce the assumptions. Just do it, and let's see where the community like to steer it. And we'll go there. Okay? Let's look at some code. All right. So, the first thing you'll notice when we list all the tasks is that you have a few OFViz plugin tasks. I hope you can see them here. Create, install, pull, push, remove, and uninstall. Right? Create just creates a new component. Right now it's in special purpose. I'm hoping to rename it to plugins, just to be clear. Right? This is something that's going to be empty by default, hopefully. And you just pull whatever you want into that folder. So create creates a new plugin in the special purpose folder, hopefully renamed. Install executes an install script on this plugin, right? Pull means download it from an external repository and install it. So pull is two things. It's download and then install. Push is once you have a plugin and you're happy with it, you can push it into a repository for others to use it. Remove means uninstall. It's similar to uninstall. Well, let's explain what uninstall first. Uninstall means execute some logic to remove the plugin and then remove it. And remove means do all of that, but also delete it completely from the file system. That's it. That's pretty much the kernel or the very small component of what a plugin system is. Now, granted, you can have 100 other functions in here, right? You can have many different variations. But at the end, I thought, why go there? Why not just develop things as people request them or need them so that we can learn together? So let's look at a few examples. So let's just create a component. So, Gradle, create, okay, create plugin. My cool component, right? And let's see what happens. Now, oops. All right, hold on. It's a live demo, so things can crash and burn, right? That's the whole idea. Yeah, hold on. Yeah, it's plugin ID. I think it's that. That's it. All right. Live demonstrations, right? Some things just catch fire. All right. Okay, so we've created a component. Now, if we go to the special purpose directory and list, you'll see Michael component right there, created. Also, if you read the componentload.xml, which is the file that is responsible for loading all these components, you'll notice that it added the component right here, right? So it did everything automatically to install the component. So in a way, create component means create it and then install it. Once you install the component, you have just a regular OFBiz component with most of the directory structure. I need to take a step back here before I explain any further on how we designed OFBiz with the Gradle build system. Essentially, every component is a project. And the master build.gradle is a project, right? So if you go to the top level project and you say just list the projects, right? You will see here, I don't know if this is clear enough or not, everything is a project, right? Every component in the system is a project. Okay. What's the benefit of that? It's a project that is doing nothing, right? It's a project that you optionally can create a script for. You can create a build.gradle for, and it will do whatever you want. Now, by convention, every sub-project can declare its own dependencies and declare its own business logic or custom logic for installing and uninstalling. And this is where the whole story of having a plugin system completes. So what does that mean? Let's look at some code. So let's go to special purpose BERT, for example. Remember the big dependency tree? It was just created by this guy. This is the build.gradle file for BERT, one of the components. And as you can see, it is declaring its own dependencies. Plugin libs compile, and you can have runtime, right? What is this saying? It's saying, hey, master build script, I am a plugin. I am a component. I need libraries. These are the libraries that I need. Please pull them along with all their dependencies so that I can work. Essentially, right? Now, in addition to the dependencies that you have in here, you can also define custom logic to run for installing and uninstalling. So if we go back to the custom component that we just created, right? Let's look at the build.gradle, which is just a sample. If you can see here, it has a task called install and a task called uninstall, which comes with every component, right? So what do? For now, just to show you, just for demonstration purposes, let's say just print I am installing myself, right? And we'll do the same thing for uninstall. Okay? So we created a very, very simple script just to show you that you can write whatever code you want. It's groovy. So you can write whatever you're thinking about in terms of customization. Now, if I go here and I say, okay, of course, I forgot the commands, so I got to list them. So it's, let's uninstall the plugin, right? So uninstall plugin dash p plugin ID equals my cool component, right? The uninstall plugin. Yep. It's a live demo. I-N-S-T-A. Yep. Do you guys see that? So I just ran whatever logic that I had in mind. This can be patching files, moving things around, deleting, going to the database and adding records, whatever you want. I did not make it restrained, and I did not provide convenience methods for whatever because I don't know what whatever is for everybody. That's where you can help out by giving ideas. Well, I want a specialized function that just patches the database. Fine. Then we put it in there, and we build a bigger API. We build more functionality. To make it easy, to make it standard. So you don't have to write the whole logic to connect to the database, add stuff, remove stuff, patch files, all this, you know. But where do you guys want to go exactly? It's up to you. I just provided the lower level stuff that makes all of this possible. Okay? Again, if I reinstall, by the way, if I look at now the special purpose, what is it called? Component load. You'll see that the library disappeared. My cool component is not there. So it yanked it out of the system, right? And again, if I reinstall it, so if I do reinstall it, it'll search for it in the directory tree and just plug it right back in, right? So it's just, you know, on, off. It's just a switch. You do it, and it works, right? It's activating it, which means adding it to the component load. And I am installing myself. It's running the logic that I just mentioned. Okay, so the next step moving forward, what do we do now with all of this? I did not even touch the part that is critical. And this took me a lot of thinking. I was thinking of designing everything myself, doing everything. But then I came to the conclusion that no, too much. I need a standard way, a standards compliant way of having all of these plugins. So what do? We need to now package this up. Okay, I have a component. I have the build logic to patch the system and do everything. I have everything ready. How do I share it? How do I share it with other people? Well, I need to deploy it, to package it, right? So how do I package it? This is an area where you can either do it with your own hands if you're comfortable with Maven, right? You create a pom.xml, you build your package, you do your thing, and you publish it. Or I can do it for you through the plugin manager by making some convenience methods to make it just quick and easy to publish, right? So let's try that right now, actually. So push plugin dash p plugin ID equals my cool component, right? Let's see what happens. hopefully doesn't catch fire again. Okay, look at the tasks that happened right here. It created an archive for the plugin, which is like a zip folder or something. It generated the POM, which is the Maven descriptor file that says this is a package. It published it, for now at least, to the local Maven repository, my local computer's repository. And it made the publication so that I can now use it. And it pushed it in. So what does that mean? If I go now to my local Maven repository, it's usually available in your .m2 directory, right? Let's go to the repository, and let's go to org apache ofbiz. Let's go to plugin, because that's the namespace, and you'll see my cool component here published. If I go to my cool component, I will see that I have 0.1.0-snapshot as the first version of my component. Why is that? Because unless I create, remember that create plugin function that we just used? Let's take a look at it, actually. So the create plugin, it takes a plugin ID and uses it as a component name. But then it defaults everything else unless you decide to change it. So the plugin resource name becomes a capitalized plugin name. So that's for the file names and whatnot. The web app name, the same thing, the base permission. And then it takes a few default routes for the name of the namespace. So here we go. If you see here in the publication, it says, okay, the plugin group is going to be org.apache.ofbiz.plugin. The plugin version is 0.1.0-snapshot. Now, I can override these when I publish. I would say, no, I'm publishing version 2. I'm publishing version 2.1, 2.2, so on and so forth. When you do that and you control it, you can have your own company in here, org.mycompany.whatever, right? The plugin version can be anything that you select. And this is how you do the versioning and the different publications of your solution, right? What does that do? What does this task, the publish task, what does it do? If I go to the 0.10 snapshot, I'll see a mycoolcomponent 0.10 snapshot.pom. This is the most important thing. This is the descriptor file that says this is a Maven package that I can install. It gives me here the group ID that I've just shown you, right? The component name. Right? The version. For now, all of them are just zip files because they are just components that you extract. And what the system does, if I show you... what the system does, if I show you the logic for... what is it? Publish? No. Is it for the install? Yeah, it'll activate. What did I want to show you? I think it could be push. Because what I was showing you, yeah. Oh, yeah. Actually, it's install. What happens here... Okay, I'm... Don't worry too much about the code. This is just a loop that does the following. It says, okay, give me my plugin. All right. Give me all the dependencies for that plugin. And one by one, in reverse order, start with the dependencies, install, 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 until I hit my plugin. So what's happening is that the system is pulling all the OFBiz plugins in reverse order, from the dependencies to the dependents, and installing them all with their install tasks that I've just shown you in the system. Boom, 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 boom. And you got your thing installed. in the right sequence with the right versions. Right? So, what do we have here? We have dependency management, we have standard packaging using Maven, and we have a skeletal or a small API that does all the basic things. Now, granted, this is not at the level of sophistication of a full plugin management system that we see in other systems, but it is a sufficient kernel for you to customize it however you want. And I tried my best not to make too many assumptions about what people want. I know that these are just the basic that most likely everybody needs. Beyond that, I just don't know. I need to test it. Right? Going on some more. Here are the areas that are undecided, I'm not sure about yet, and I need ideas on. How to handle trunk. Trunk is the unstable, it's the development branch of the software, and I'm not sure how to handle plugins for it. One idea I have in mind is to just pull source repositories directly in, and trunk should always work with the latest code base, for example. Another thing, what is the full API? Well, what are the missing things that we want? I've just shown install something, uninstall it, remove it, add it. Very simple stuff. How can we expand this? How can we make it very easy for our users? What kind of functionality is necessary? I have a few ideas, but it's incomplete and it's kind of a mess in my head right now. I need to organize it. Publishing to external repos. Right now, the demo that you just saw, I just published to my local Maven repository. We need to set up some kind of repository for our official plugins at least, right? So that our own ASF-supported plugins sit somewhere within our infrastructure, perhaps. We can, I'm sure the Maven guys can help us out with setting up a repository, give us guidelines or ideas on what to do. There are many software packages out there that work as Maven repositories, and they integrate with websites and everything else. And then custom publishing options, which is the pom.xml now, it's just a minimal file. Well, how can we declare the dependencies through Gradle? How can we fine-tune the metadata through Gradle? How can we fully control the pom.xml generation through Gradle? So make it as easy and user-friendly as possible so that users just write a few commands and everything gets published. They don't need to know pom.xml. They don't need to know Maven. Necessarily, we try to abstract that away in the plugin in the build system. Food for thought. So here are some of the ideas to tackle some of the issues that I just mentioned. For example, we can have Gradle pull all official plugins. So what does this task do? The things that we want to support as a community, we'll say, okay, pull them all from source, put them into my system. Once I do that, then what's going to happen? Gradle W, clean all, load default, test integration. If all works, we're good. This way, we have a simple methodology to sustain the code in these plugins without always shipping them with the code base. It's a middle ground solution. Another thought, Gradle, pull official plugin. And you mentioned that official plugin so that you can just take whatever you want, test it, because you care about BERT, or you care about, I don't know, one of the special purpose plugins, you'll just focus on that. So every time you start your environment or your own build management and continuous integration server, you'll just pull that plugin because that's what you care about, that's what you're going to maintain, and you're going to run the tests and do whatever you want. Another thing you can do is, That's where more user-friendly stuff is there. List installed plugins. Show me what's installed. Or show me what's installed in a tree-like structure, just like I showed you the dependencies a minute ago, so that I can see, okay, what is depending on what? How does this work out? How is everything connected to everything? Right? Show plugin files affected. So for this plugin that I've just installed, what files were patched in the system? What are the patches? What are the statuses, right? Same thing here. Which the diffs, the actual diff of the files that changed. What happened? This plugin changed something in the framework and something here and something there. What? Where? Keeping track of that is something we might add in the future. And the list goes on. We can increase the API infinitely to cover everything that we need. I don't have all the ideas yet, but I have the kernel, or at least I think we have something to start with, right? And that's that. Questions? Thank you.
please. I talk loud enough. I don't need the mic. So we've got you've got the base there. So is the idea to start? We've got a whole lot of things sitting in the special purpose component anyway. Is the idea that we look at converting those into the plugins and using this system to be able to install those?
Yeah, so the basic idea is not only to remove everything that is not core from the framework, not only to remove these components, but there's a lot of other code that we need to just yank out, put it in a component, and also ship it away. Just strip as much as we can, the code base, to keep it clean and lean. We have a very small core, and everything is shipped out into these plugins as much as we can. So this is the main objective. We really want to reduce the code base, reduce the dependencies, make it manageable, make it doable. And then we have these three guys here who are very much interested in X component. They go and tackle it. They do whatever they want in it. They go on the code base and they just focus on it. These folks over here, they're interested in that component, or they want to refactor X or refactor Y. They can focus on that. We can divide and conquer the problem. Right now, we have just one big, massive, behemoth, monolithic code base of poof, and you have to support everything, and everything should work, and all the tests should... And that's putting a lot of strain, and we have limited resources. Having it separated this way means we don't have to worry. Yeah, we'll continue to support. Some plugins are official and they're ours and we'll continue to support them. But I don't have to worry about it on every single commit. I don't have to get all the tests running on every single commit. That's someone else's headache.
Okay. Sorry, right? Another sort of follow-up question. So one of the things that I think the community will be quite concerned about is making sure that the functionality isn't taken away. And when we talk about refactoring, and you talk about removing code, people worry about removing functionality. So what I hear here is that, yes, we'll be looking at cleaning up the code, and yes, we'll be looking at trying to separate out the functionality into, you know, plugins, but we're not going to let the users have any less. They can choose. They have more choice, in fact, as to what is there.
I don't have a definite answer on this. I'm not 100% sure, but here's what I'm thinking, and I'm just brainstorming here. What we need is the ability, all the functionality, if we take everything and ship it out into plugins, right? And we keep them there. We can decide, for example, okay, our build manager, for now, our build bot, is going to still pull everything and run all the tests. Or maybe we'll decide, no, we will not pull everything and build the tests. Some people are interested in these components. They're going to spend time and effort on it. But if we today take all these components and ship them out and implement everything that we discussed here, then all that people need to do is just call something like what was it called? Pull all official plugins, right? You call one task, you pull everything, you run the tests, done. The only problem is when the code base gets updated, some things might break down the line. But then that's where, in a way, I'm thinking the plugin system is an added value, not a removal, because it shows you which parts don't have enough interest to keep it current with the code base. But that's just one idea.
Yeah. Thank you, Ted. It's brilliant.
Thank you.
As usual. I agree with Sharon's concern about community being worried about removing features that may be used or are used. Mm. I think that we should, as a community, start to think in a slightly different way. Right now, we assume that we have one product, OFBits. OFBits is one product owned by the OFBits community. We should start thinking that the OFBits community will own several products. Ideally, each official plugin that you have mentioned here could be one of these products. So when you say separate components out of the code base, I think we should start thinking about having a core code base with a plugin management API and system, and a series of other official components that are maintained by the same community, plus the option to install additional components that are part of the ecosystem. Right. So if we start thinking this way, there are some challenges, as you mentioned, like maintaining, so modifying the core framework and making sure that the other products owned by the community are still working properly, or maybe figuring out that they are deprecated and should be removed. But I think this is the way to go, and we could start thinking about using like a Git branching system. We could imagine to have a master rather than a trunk, and do all our refactoring of the trunk of the framework on a dev branch, and make sure that our plugins are dependent on the master. And when we merge the dev to the master, we will take care of the plugin.
Yeah.
So we can decouple the effort of moving on and cleaning the framework from the continuous synchronization of of the various components. But in general, I think, I really like the way that you approach this problem, starting with a very simple and clean and neat API, and postpone any engineering, over-engineering effort to the actual application of what we have. So I think we should push ahead in this effort, and it's a great start.
Okay, thank you. And I have to note something here, and also as a follow-up comment to your notes here. The plugin system was very intentionally designed as a tool. It's neutral. It does not force the community to make any decisions. You want to maintain the plugins in the code base, you can keep it. You want to remove it, you can. It's just a tool. It's a facility. But now we have options. That's a difference from the past. Now we have options. We have the ability to make a decision to remove the code base out, or keep it in, or maintain it in some way, or distribute it on teams, or put Git repositories and branches and whatnot. And one of the nice things, you mentioned Git or even Subversion. The older solutions, some of the older solutions, require you to install Git or install Subversion on your machine. With Gradle, you can just integrate it as part of the Gradle solution. So you can have Git version management system or Subversion version management system called from Gradle. You don't need to touch your environment. You don't need to do anything. It's all there in one place. So we have a variety of ways to arrive at solutions. I tried, as I said before, to minimize the decisions that I make into the absolute minimal that we can start to have a discussion about. Yes, there should be a plugin. Yes, there should be a plugin, depending on a plugin. And there should be the ability to run code. That's the minimum that I was able to assign as objective of the plugin system. Going forward from there, it's community-driven. It was very much intentionally designed to be that way so that it's just flexible, you know?
I think we have a last question.
Maybe.
Thanks, Tahir, for your plugin system. I already start to use it to test. I have two remarks. The first is, for me, a plugin never modifies the core. So for me, a plugin never patch, use the patch. And if we need to use the batch, I think this is not a problem by the plugin, but it's a problem that the core have not all functionality to do that.
Agreed.
So I prefer to think about what's missing in the core instead of patch the core by the plugin. There's bad result because it's introduced some modification in the core and break maybe some other plugins. And second point, the user can develop with those plugins and with the remove these plugins, a technical problems appear, and this code fall.
Yeah, I actually very much agree with your assessment. That's my personal opinion, of course. Maybe others will disagree. I think that most of the install uninstall stuff should be database transactions. It'll be adding some rows, removing some rows, updating some rows. That's it. And what that does is just tweaks the knobs of the ERP system. If you're patching, then yes, you're right. Then there's something wrong in the design that you have to go and yank lines and change things around. It should be flexible enough to adapt to that. But again, I did not make that assumption or that decision because I don't know what people want. I prefer not to patch. I prefer just to put data entries in the database and shoot it off and get running. But I need to have the ability to do anything that you want, even for things that we did not think about. What if in the future we want to design something so that you copy files or you contact or you send an email? You know, upon installing this, I'm going to send an email, play some music, and shoot nuclear missiles, whatever. You should have the ability to do whatever you want, and then we put best practices maybe in place of, okay, this is the best way to install a plugin. This is what we don't recommend that you do. Again, it's an open system. It's a tool. It's neutral. It doesn't have an opinion. You guys have the opinion, and that's where things happen.
Yes, and three points. The second point, I think OffBiz is not ready to put the plugin now because when you load and modify the data models or the service models, you haven't always the information where come from the new features. If I take an example, easy, but I already explained in the main list. If you extend an entity by a plugin, you reload OffBiz, you check the attributes in the new entity. You can use it, but you have not directly the information that is come from a plugin. Mm-hmm. So if you remove it, the plugin will break your dependence and you don't see it. It's another point, so by feedback, already the problems.
I actually had experience with this. I tested the system. There's only one component in special purpose that's crashing everything, which is the e-commerce. It's a few data items. And I think Pierre was one of the guys who's working on moving that data back to the core applications. With that being said, perhaps what you said is, I don't think we're ready to remove the plugins yet. We sort of agree, I think. I would emphasize perhaps that the best approach is to do it incrementally. Just like the system itself is designed incrementally, we do it incrementally. We take one component that we think it doesn't have a lot of impact, it doesn't affect the performance of the system very much, we ship it out. We try it, we stabilize, we're happy, we go to the next component, and then the next one, and then the next one. This needs to be a very small-stepped evolutionary process of slowly taking out unnecessary functionality from the framework and keeping a lean core. And we do that over months and years. As we do that, we are continuously cleaning up the code base. And as you move things around, in the process, you discover, oh, this code is ugly, let me clean this up. This doesn't work very well, let me just do this. Let's fix that. It's a continuous grooming and cleaning of the code base to get to something pleasurable for all of us. And so to do that, again, just like in the refactoring exercise that we did a few months, maybe a year ago, It's the same thing. It has to be gradual. Whatever we do, it can't be a shocker to the community. It has to be gradual. This is the only way that I saw progress happening in this project. And so I'm hoping this approach will also help us to slowly navigate in that direction.
Yes, I agree. And the last, for the official plugin, I need to smart about do the publication, if we need to release it or not, by the community. It's a point for me. I have no information about this at this time.
My back burner. So, yeah, I was thinking that, yeah, like, what we could do to comply with the SAF requirement could be that, rather than pull all official plugins, it could be like pull official plugins and, or maybe pull, official plugin and pass it like a name. Text file with the names of the plugins that we want to pass. Plus their release number, for example. Yes. So, for example, we could have in the trunk this task will download all the plugins that are unreleased. So it's like the trunk of each plugin, the trunk version of this. It is each plugin. Yeah. On the other hand, a release branch and a release will run the same command, but it will be parameterized with a released version. So at that point, the PMC will have to publish each and every plugin officially by vote, and the release will optionally download them as a product, separate product.
One of the questions here is that I don't know, and I'm opening up for discussion, is what repository do we use? Do we use something used by other companies and institutions like JCenter or Maven Central or something, or do we create our own Maven repository? Because we will keep the sources with us, but do we need the publications to also be with us? Or can we publish it to third party? This is one of the questions, for example. We can ask. I don't have an opinion on this. Yeah. But the beauty of this, guys, is that we have the options. That's the beauty. Is we have the option to decide. We want to go here. We want to go here. The technology is flexible enough to go with our desires. And so... Yeah. Yeah.
We still have 1 minute. So...
Thank you.